Right, hello and welcome back to the Baggies Blues podcast. We've been away a while. Apologies for that. We tried to do a little pre-season one, but these things don't always work out quite as well as we plan. But yeah, so it's been almost a year. We did the Christmas special, which I got reminded of the other night. I'd actually forgotten we did that. So thanks to Jack Cady for that memory. Yeah, so this one, we've got a little season review for you. It's been a while. We had sort of a decent season for all three teams, and I'm joined by the two usual reprobates to try and have a little look about how this season's gone. So, Diesel, do you want to kick us off with a little bit about last Saturday?
So obviously we had the last game of the season. We are recording this on Monday, so 2 days post the last game. So we were playing bottom of the league. Quite mad that we could have gone down. We needed definitely 6 points to be absolutely sure of staying up. And that was with if all results went against us, basically lots and lots had to happen for us to go down. But we still needed to get 6 points. Lost a toss and South Winchester decided to have a bat first. They were about 50 odd for none, off about probably 10 overs. And considering they've been bowled out for like 50 odd, 70 odd, 60 odd in the last three games, we're a bit like, okay, this is a bit different. But then Zach and Clarkie came on, wicket started to fall. Just little caveat to that, it has been an absolute joy to watch Chris Clark bowl this season. Obviously, Justin played on Saturday just because of dropouts, and it just had just the way things went. And he was just stood at gully like, I could do this every week. Just stand here and watch Clarkie bowl. I was like, yeah, it is absolute joy to watch him. Both of them, and Clarkie took four wickets. Good moment at one stage. One of their lads came in and giving it to him a little bit. He just telling him, try and whack it over mid-off. Next ball, he then puts it in the field over mid-on. So that was quite a good moment. Fines were in play that weekend, then that would have been serious for Smooth. Brinton bowled well. Well bowled, mate.
Cheers, mate.
Serious delivery to bowl their skipper. Good fielding performance as well. Good grabbers from Geordie. I think he took a couple of good catches. So South Winchester finished on 177 for nine. And it sort of felt walking off. It didn't really matter how many they caught. It just almost felt like we were just going to chase it down, whatever, which is quite a rare feeling. And then in our innings, again, their openers started well. It wasn't easy to score. And then Mikey just went bang and just started pumping them straight down the ground. Smacking it everywhere. He brought up his 50 in the eighth over. I think I was on about nine at the time. Cal then came in and followed suit, just smacked it everywhere again till he was caught. And then Josh Moore did the same. He raced to 48 in no time. And I think we chased it down in the 23rd, 24th over. It was just pretty dismissive batting display, really, especially from them three. It was ridiculous. So a very, very good finish to the season. Obviously, we stayed up and finished seventh, which is mad. A good end to the season.
And then it's
can I also just pay a little tribute to Chris Clark? Ross, we're at it. The GOAT. Not much more to add than what you said, really. But if you are a young player and you look at someone like that, he is an example of someone who is getting the absolute best out of himself right to the bitter end. I think he's 48.
It's incredible. And,
he's one of the fittest blokes on the team. He is so determined. We were saying the other day, he probably like spends time away from when he's not working and stuff, like actually trying to keep his body in shape so that he can bowl nine overs through on a Saturday. So I doff my cap to him.
Mm.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Couldn't agree more. It was great. Just like you said, Diesel, just watching the GOAT just up the hill. It's just a beautiful sight.
It's been a theme of the season, really. Normally he bowls first change and just those middle overs, it's just unbelievable consistency. And as a captain as well, to just know exactly what you're going to get for the next nine overs. Yeah, unbelievable.
And then that sort of led into quite a big end of season night out. I mean, it's traditional that boys sort of head out at the end of the season, but we had a few drinks at the ground first. And I have to say, probably one of like the real actual highlights of the night was early on with beer pong. These you're gonna have to forgive me because I don't know these two lads' names.
So it was Joe and hitting four in a row. I don't even know what the result was in the game, but it was just, yeah, a good moment. And I just thought, as the sort of round's always good, I think it was one of the better atmospheres we've had in terms of all players from all teams coming along. A few of the younger lads come in and integrating with, because you think, like, especially with the third team, they get the first and second team probably don't have that much interaction with the third team because obviously they play at a different ground. A lot of young lads who won't come to the pub after the game. So it's quite good interaction, which, yeah, is positive. And the boys were getting involved, which is great. Big shout out to Jonathan Wells on the barbecue all night. Like, just unsung hero of the evening.
And Mikey for getting his meat out.
Mikey for what?
Getting his meat out regularly.
Oh, yeah. Producing some unbelievable deer. Yeah, and I think a bit later, but obviously all the beers were all bought and paid for by the players this year as a result of the fines. And yeah, I just came away thinking, yeah, that was one of the better sort of things we've had in terms of, as I say, all three teams interacting with each other.
Definitely, and then we sort of rolled on into Winch. Yeah, and then sort of great numbers again. Probably like up there with the most we've had out, I'd have to say, at least the ones I've been.
At least 20 blokes, I would say. If you look at that photo that we took inside the pavilion, yeah, I reckon there's about 20 of us there.
Yeah. And everyone from that photo go out?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
And again, huge appearances. Yeah. Appearances from the GOAT and Baz. And they lasted more than most, to be fair.
The GOAT was just, I mean, what a day out for him. It's incredible.
But I imagine he just wakes up and he's just like, oh, it's just another day, isn't it? It doesn't even impact him. Just bounces off him.
He would have woken up on Sunday and gone out and done a 10-miler. He's already thinking, you know, rehab for the next season. Yeah.
He did get caught in Buffalo about three or four times, which was sort of harsh to see, but yeah.
Forgivable, though. Forgivable.
Yeah, forgivable. Thrown out of spoons, that was a highlight for me, really.
Talk us through the night out, because I obviously, with a heavy heart, have missed it yet again. So going from the ground into town, it's all those things often, you know, funny shit happens in those little in-between bits. So did you act like, you know, it's a logistical nightmare, as we know, trying to get from the middle of nowhere into Winchester, pissed up, but yet somehow, like, there's people available to drive. So,
yeah, I think we organised that quite well.
A timeline of what happened.
We actually had too many lifts into town. We were turning people away from driving us in. So, yeah, obviously, I don't know what time we left, but we were at the ground.
We're at the ground tonight, to finish, I reckon.
Yeah, and then lift into Winch, straight into Spoons. And again, I mean, with 20 of us, that is an absolute sea of blue shirts.
It's just what the night needs, isn't it? It's just what the night needs. 20 men just piling into the bar.
Throughout the night, you were never lost because all you had to do was a 360-degree turn and you were seeing someone in a blue shirt. I think we got kicked out within the first 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And
of being in Spoons?
Yeah.
Three possible reasons. Being that there were about 20 of us, and I think someone mentioned something about us being in fancy dress, like they weren't happy with that. And then the second one, Clarky got caught in a buffalo and spilled all his drink down him. So that was a bit of a mess. And we were right by the bar. And then the third reason, which I think
probably the most likely
reason, was because we were all by the bar, told to move away from the bar. Mikey may or may or may not have told the barman he was going to smash his face.
Yeah.
And but I don't think he would have heard that.
No, so he did think it quite was loud.
I don't know. It might have been that.
Only Mikey knows.
And then, yeah, Bounce came over and was like, "You guys have got to go." But he sort of, again, he didn't really want to kick us out.
No, he was quite nice about it. He said, like, look, just finish your drinks. You've got 15 minutes.
Ben was 15 driving. Minutes?
Yeah.
That's pretty generous.
Yeah.
You get another round in.
Yeah, we did. Some of us, that was part of the problem.
But because they stopped serving us, but Ben was driving. So he went up to the bar and was like, "Can I have a Coke Zero, please?" or whatever. And they were like, "No, no, no." He was like, "Come on, mate, give me a fucking, like, give me a Coke Zero." I'm obviously not going to do anything. And then, so when we went from there, went to O'Neill's, just around the corner. Again, Mikey interacting with just strangers on that sort of walk. Because there's that bar, literally, as you walk down outside of Spoons. Just, I think, Geordie and Cal Greens. Walking with him.
Greens or something?
Yeah, Greens, yeah. Like that.
Geordie and Cal walking with him and just left him because they just didn't want to be involved in whatever he was doing. And then, yeah, into O'Neill's. O'Neill's is good. Quite enjoyed it in there. We were in there for quite a while, I think.
Mm.
And then wandered down to Alfie's.
Yep.
Geordie and Cal is starting to remind me of Gary and Simon.
There's a bit of that.
Isn't there?
So into Alfie's, again, did we go Alfie's first?
Yeah.
Okay, so into there, across the pitcher, and then back again when that closed. Melda was sick on the dance floor in pitcher.
Yep. Got thrown out. Wasn't happy about it.
No. But apart from that, I don't think I haven't got anything else that I could remember apart from that.
No, there wasn't. Nice nudge on Jack Cady by me and Tom Trinder.
Oh yeah,
the dance floor. But other than that, there wasn't that much going on really.
And that's the thing, right? About all these nights out, nothing really happens, but there's constant buffoonery.
Yeah,
you can just never remember any of it. And I just don't know how. Like 4 or 5 hours just goes by in the blink of an eye, doesn't it?
Yeah,
and it's not like you all stood around like trying to make conversation. Like it's just constant stuff is happening.
Yeah,
but you can just never sort of actually pick out what was going on.
We played that heads up game, you know, on your phone, in the taxi home.
Oh,
great.
And that's giving me crow's feet, I'm afraid.
last man to leave.
Yeah.
All right. So, I think I could do a couple of quick fire questions about the night out. Most drunk.
Smooth.
Best value.
Diesel was cracking.
Melder for me.
bloke that doesn't normally go out, but suddenly was out.
The GOAT.
And Baz.
Yeah. GOAT and Baz. Baz. I'm not sure. I can't remember. Geordie, I'm sorry. I can't remember what your mum's called. Yeah, Mrs. Baz. She was out as well.
Most likely to pull.
I don't know if anyone pulled, to be fair. Did they?
Probably.
It's not going to happen, no. Is it?
I don't think so. But I think most likely to is probably Jack Cady.
Yeah, I did ask him why he didn't bother. I was quite disappointed in him.
Any bromance developing?
No. Not that I really know.
I remember.
Nothing out of the ordinary.
Okay, fair enough. No further questions.
Right, so now we sort of reviewed that first night, the first sort of the end of the season night out, and Diesel, do you want to have a little sort of go through a little review of the ones for the year?
Yes, I can, now that I've found it. So generally, if you look at it over the course of the season, it was a bit of an up and down season. So we had quite a tough start just from the teams that we were playing and obviously the results. So we were 0-4 to begin with, but we had played three of the top four teams who finished the season in the top four. And then, but after that, we went 6-3. So we ended the season pretty positively. Couple of big highlights for me, well, two games that stand out to me was the win at Calmore and then the win at Andover. So there were two sort of good performances for different reasons. So at Calmore, that sort of 18 over spell of Zach and Clarkey, both bowling nine through. I think Zach went for 9 runs. Clarkey took 4 wickets. It was just a ridiculous middle over spell. And then Andover, the performance came with a bat. So Cal smacked 70-odd, Mikey 60-odd, and Zach hit 40 and putting on 244 against a team who, again, could have gone up this year. I think if they'd have beaten us, they would have gone up. There have been sort of worries about relegation this year, especially when we were 0-4 and then 1-5. It's been a really tight league where lots of teams could have gone down, but I think we always knew we had winnable games towards the end. So we won 4 of our last 5. I think we knew those last 2 games were against the bottom 2, were very winnable. And if we needed those results, then we were going to go get them. Positives for me this year is more to do with sort of younger players. So if you think Tom Cady and Joe Brown coming into the team in a situation where obviously we'd lost Spear, had gone, Clarkey was injured, Ben was away. So for them two to come in and number of times having to open the bowling for the first team and take wickets was really, really good to see. And they've both shown that they are and can be first team cricketers and they're only going to get better. And another thing was Zach also batting up the order this year, finding ways to score runs. And I think his batting's really progressed this year, which has been a huge bonus considering at the start of the season, he was probably batting 10. He's now batting 3 or 4, scoring runs, averaging loads with a bat, which is really good. Just generally, again, overall, the team feels quite settled now. I think everyone seems to know their role within the team. And I think we always say it, but on paper, we are a really, really strong first team. And we have shown that in moments. I think we can look really positively into next year. And just to finish, so obviously top performer, so Mikey was leading run scorer with 317, with a high score of 62, averaging just under 40. And then obviously the GOAT, leading wicket taker, 22 wickets, averaging 13 with the ball, and going at 3.5 and over. Which is silly. So yeah, really, really positive. And we finished 7th, which is mad considering we could have gone down on Saturday. So finishing 7th out of an 18 team league is really, really good. So yeah,
it seemed like yeah, I was just going to say, it's sort of, you talk about like the way the fixtures sort of came, but it seemed from like the outside, obviously from my perspective, that I think we just had a bit of like a layover from the previous year and just sort of losing habits were sort of ingrained in the team for a bit at the start. But it seemed, yeah, like some really strong performances towards the end, like particularly that game against Andover. Seems like, yeah, I think we can really sort of push on and like go into next year now, like on the front foot and really look to sort of push and, yeah, be right up there, sort of challenging for promotion, really.
And it's, I think throughout the season, even the games that we lost, I don't think there's been one game where we've been completely out of it. I think we could have won any of the games that we lost. It's just on the day, whether you've got the team that we've got or just things don't go your way. There was never a time where I think we were beaten by someone whose level's above like we were last year. So yeah, that's always good. And we lost well. We said it throughout the season, but that did really matter at the end. We lost well. So we lost with 8, 9, 10 points. When you think it's done on averages, there were loads of teams that were getting 1, 2 pointers, which just, we knew that we'd have to do something pretty catastrophic to go down in the last 2 games. So yeah, it was good.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say as well. A bit like Brent, from an outsider point of view, I missed the first part, but you guys were playing okay and picking up points, and it was a bit of a concern, I guess, that we lost the first few. But then there was that game against, I think it was Emsworth, and that was then that game was on a knife edge, because I think we were about 80 for five, chasing 140 or something. And you just feel if we'd lost that game, all right, we might have still been okay, but getting over the line there, and there was a partnership between Geordie and Mike Plant that saw us over the line. And that was a huge, it felt like a huge relief to get the first win, and just like remind everyone that like we're obviously like plenty good enough to be in the league.
Yeah, absolutely. So we just wanted to do a quick, we're actually really fortunate because we've got the actual first team captain on this pod. So we wanted to ask him a few questions about how he sort of found it this year. So Diesel, just generally first, how's it been as like first year as captain?
Really enjoyed it. I think more than I thought I would. I think it obviously it does add to sort of how you feel about the game. So losses, I was obviously losses are harder to take, but wins also feel a lot better. But yeah, it's been really, really enjoyable. Obviously, it's full on doing opening the batting, keeping wicket, and skippering, but I haven't felt at any point like completely, like it still felt manageable. But there are times, I think there was a moment on Saturday where we were fielding and I think Geordie was coming on to bowl and I was walking to the other end where and then I've walked to like where I'd stand for Ben. So I've walked all the way back with my helmet on and I was completely like thinking about something else. I was thinking
you were trying to like communicate with me, like, can you do one more over?
Yeah.
He was just looking at me and just kept walking back. I was like, I can. And just like looking at you, like, what is he doing?
Yeah. 10 meters back, Geordie's like waiting there, like, what are you doing? I was like, oh, fuck. Like, I'm completely not even thinking about what's going on. And I do find that at times, like, the ball will be being bowled, but I'm not thinking about that ball that's coming down. There's something else going on. But yeah, it is fun. It is enjoyable. And especially this sort of second half of the season where we've been winning games. It's real good, and especially bringing in younger guys, it's good managing them and whatnot. So yeah, it's been good.
And like, we've done a good job, mate. Very good job. That's the thing, people, because we're all insecure men, we find it hard to, you know, congratulate one another. But you've done a really good job, mate. And for the, you know, first time in a few years, there's really promising signs of youngsters coming through, isn't there? So, like last 3 or 4 years, it's been, especially like in the seam bowling department, it's just felt a bit light. It's like, okay, well, where's, you know, Clarkey and Ben aren't there. Where is our seam bowling coming from? So it's nice to know that there are a couple of young guys that are coming through and, you know, can play regularly and that sort of thing. So, positive, all positive.
Yeah.
And like, Diesel, what have you sort of learned this year? Like, and how do you think, like, you've changed from like the start to like where we are now at the end of the season?
I think, because I haven't done it probably since. Well, obviously you've done the odd Sunday, but that's different. But done it properly since probably Colts cricket.
Mm.
And I think it's more to do with like managing games of cricket in the field, like. Before I did it, it was when you think of like captaincy and you see it in like international cricket, you almost picture it as like moments. So like moving a fielder to a particular position and then them taking a catch, those sorts of things.
Yeah.
Like bringing a bowler on, they take a wicket and that over. But it's more about like managing the game and those sort of, you have obviously loads of different situations and scenarios in different games that you've got to manage differently. So it's not about like just trying to fight, like chasing wickets. It's they're just loads of different things that you sort of don't really think about. But I think obviously it's been quite nice this year. I've obviously got a good group around me. If you think, like I say, Mike, he's probably the first person that I would turn to if I needed to ask for a bit of advice. Obviously got people like Ben, Josh Moore around me who are always willing to give any advice or any thoughts that they've got. And I feel like I've just been left to sort of just do it how I want to do it. And if it works, great. If it doesn't, so be it, which has been nice. But yeah, I don't think I've got, I don't think I do things in a particular way any differently to sort of previously. Just, or what I have learned is that it is just a low, you are just guessing a lot of the time. Like this, when I started, like that first game of Corrado, I was just thinking like, oh, I was almost like just doing things, but I felt like I had to have a reason for doing it. Like it is just a lot of educated guesses of what you think is right.
Yeah.
And it's not like, as I say, international where you've got these like matchups to players and whatnot and plans you can set in place. If you've got a bat that comes in, you've probably got like 10 balls to look at them to see what to do next with them, if you know what I mean. And just sort of, yeah, just going with those educated guesses and seeing how it goes. If it works, then it looks great. If it doesn't, then you just change it.
Yeah, definitely. And I think as well that that's sort of what you just said at the end there. The fact that we're sort of in a new league with a lot of new teams that we haven't played against has been like, well, I'm guessing it's nice, but it also means that we don't know as much about the opposition because we've been playing County One for, I don't know, what, like 6-7 years, something like that, and playing a lot of the same sort of teams. And like everyone we knew, oh, so-and-so is probably going to, if he's playing, he's going to play like this, or they've got this opening bowler or that sort of thing. So that's probably made it a little bit harder as well.
Yeah, but you just got, it's, yeah, you'd say it's harder, but then it's almost quite nice going in not knowing, because then
yeah,
you can just play it by ear and sort of, you're not thinking like, oh, you're not thinking the night before, oh, I've got to face this bowler in the morning.
Yeah, yeah.
You just sort of play it as it is. But yeah, it has been nice to play against some different teams this year.
Definitely. So I'm taking the twos. I've spoke to the esteemed Rory Kerr for a bit of information that's sort of gone past just looking at leading run scores and stuff. Also finished seventh in their league. Rory said it was really nice to see sort of players who've been in the twos for a little bit now, like you sort of said about Tom Cady and Joe Brown, to sort of move through the team and sort of like go on to the ones and do like quite well. I mean, I just noticed just from doing a bit of research this morning that Joe Brown actually played for all three teams this year and played like actually quite a decent like amount of games for each. Yeah, Rory said as well that it's nice that some of the lads have come up from the threes to the twos and had like a real impact. So he highlighted Dougie Burr and the Keefs. And then most importantly, I added this, but they finished above Whitchurch and also beat Whitchurch. So that's obviously very important. And Rory said they're sort of looking to progress next year as well and try and finish, like at least sort of get in the promotion hunt, really. In terms of run scorers and wicket takers, the Brush, fantastic. 273 runs, an average of 27.4 with a high score of 83. A special shout out as well to Joe Brown, who managed to get 224 runs, an average of 74.7 with a high score of 74. So that's, pretty serious going, and obviously about 50 less runs in, I think, about four or five less innings. So very impressive from him. And the leading wicket taker was, I mean, it's going to be Baz, isn't it? Everyone knows that. Took 16 wickets at 18. And then Nate, seemed like the wickets seemed to be quite shared around in the twos all year, really. Nate Dogg took 10 at 21.8. And then Jack Cady took 9 at 29.44. And Rory said the sort of highlight of his summer really was Jack Cady bowling an absolute seed at Whitchurch, which I think is on the Instagram. And if you haven't seen it, go and check it out. Jack Cady also told me that on Saturday he kept bowling it off the pitch. So you need to look at that, Jack. But yeah, come back stronger next year, mate.
I think with the second team, as you mentioned there, obviously wickets shared around. Obviously they are hurt a little bit by players being pinched, especially if the first team are short. So obviously we, as I said earlier, we had a time where Harry had gone back, Clarkie just got injured, Ben was away. Like obviously first team takes priority and they get the choice of basically picking the best 11 players. I think that's where the second team does get hurt. But as you say, it's good that lads from the third team can come up and not just think that they're just filling in, but they can actually come in and provide something. So that's good.
And it's not, it's still a half decent standard down there. You know, there'll be some crappy teams, but I think the top 10 of that league is all right. Mm. Some solid players. So they get a decent challenge. You know, if you're dropping down from ones to twos, which can happen occasionally, it's not Mickey Mouse cricket. You know, you still got to try, you still got to switch on. And yeah, they've done really well this year, haven't they?
Yeah, really strong. Yeah, especially as Diesel says, with players sort of moving up and down and sort of struggling for probably a consistent 11 every week. Spear, do you want to have a little look? You've looked at the McGees for us. Do you want to sort of have a quick little run through?
Yeah, I'm going to give a little debrief for the McGees. I haven't got any quotes. Like, you got some quotes from Rory. I haven't got any quotes from Blackie. We did reach out to him, but he didn't respond. Don't know why.
Probably looking after his cows.
Yeah, message probably didn't actually reach him at all. So, McGees, they've had another good season. I can't remember if they went up last year or not, or whether this is their second year in Div 5. But anyway, they've had a good year. And again, you know, the knock-on effect of the twos giving players to the ones, and then the McGees to the Magoos, etc., means that, you know, they had a little core of players. You know, your Blackies, your Gaz Taplin, Proctor, Melder, etc., Tasker. But there probably were some games where they were really short and scraping the barrel. But, you know, it's a credit to the club, really, isn't it, to get, you know, I imagine we fielded full teams every single game. Don't think there was ever a situation where the threes were short. So that's really good. And then they finished 11th in their league. Notable performances with the bat, Blackie, 412 runs. I mean, that's a lot of runs. Yeah, death taxes and Blackie getting runs. That's certainties in life. Connell Proctor, 169. And the evergreen, Gary Taplin, who I literally haven't seen for about 7 years. Doesn't come to the pub, does he? So, I don't know. It's like, it's weird. It's I haven't seen him in person for about 7 years, I reckon. But we're living this sort of parallel life. Yeah, that's strange when you think about it. Anyway, he got 163 runs. Fair play to him. Him and Blacks, like the glue in that batting lineup with youngsters around them, youngsters and inexperienced players around them. Wickets, Connell Proctor, 24. Pretty good. It's a pretty good yield, as well as his runs. Melder, 15. And right. Kieran Tasker. He's also, you know, Kieran Tasker now, he's a bit of a stalwart, really, for the McGees. Really sort of, what's the word? Dependent, I guess, on his seam bowling, which is good. They won 6 and lost 7. So pretty even in terms of results. I just made a note of the fact that 4 of their wins came defending totals and by 33 runs or less. So they had quite a few close games where they were closing out games with the ball. Good experience for the youngsters and shows that Blackie's sort of dynamic captaincy helped them get over the line on those occasions. And looking through the results, I mean, it's hard to tell when the other team chases. There are a few, like 5 wickets in hand, which you wouldn't say is a shellacking. So there was only really one heavy loss against Penton. But apart from that, they seem to, you know, put up a good fight in all the losses as well. So, you know, once again, the mythical third team, you don't really get any video clips. You don't really get any, you know, like live updates on the day. That, like, Melder has improved that. Fair play to him. And he's a bit of a sort of spokesperson for the McGees at the moment. But still, do you know what I mean? It's just, you just want to be a fly on the wall one day and see what goes on. Not just the cricket, but how does the dynamic work? What's it like? Is there any banter in the changing room? You know, when they take a wicket, do they all come running in and jump on each other? I don't know. They got any guys that get angry? They got any people that sledge? These are the things that we need to know that we don't.
Yeah,
website can't tell you that. I mean, it's really impressive that year after year we're putting out a third team, for a club our size. Right, we're going to take a break from the serious chat and get in with our first quiz. We haven't had a quiz for a while. We are running thin of ideas, but we've come up with something. So please, this is one that you can play along at home. This quiz is called Name That Ground.
Right.
Can you guess what you got to do?
Yep, I think I've got it.
Okay, so the game itself is very simple. I'm going to name the name of a ground, and you got to name which club it is. Okay, so lots of clubs, not every club, but lots of clubs actually have a different name for their ground.
Okay.
We don't. We like when the little icon comes up on the website, it just says this game is played at Long Parish Cricket Club.
The Furnace.
That we call it the Furnace. In brackets, the Furnace. But lots of clubs actually have a separate name. So I've got 10 local-ish cricket clubs. I'll start off with the easy ones and they'll get progressively more difficult. So there's 10 points available. First person to shout the answer wins. You only get one guess though.
Play along I think at
home. Use a, yeah, play along at home, please.
Email your answers in.
Yeah, we love it. We love it when you email the answers in. Same email address, I think. Got a couple of faxes last time. Do you understand the rules?
Yep.
Yeah.
Give me a buzzer sound and then make that sound when you think you know the answer.
Okay.
I'm going to go with
ding.
Fucking original, that is.
I'm just going to go with dong.
Fuck's sake. This is entertainment, lads. 10 points available on the buzzer. First one is Maize Bounty.
Dong, Basingstoke.
Can you let Harry decide who's ding or dong first?
Sorry, mate.
Yeah, with my permission. I'm going to, well, you said it at exactly the same time. So I'm going to give you a point. I'm going to give you a point each.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Apologies.
Yeah, it's okay. Right, let me just put one apiece. Number two, London Road.
Dong.
Alex, what's your answer?
Andover.
Correct.
Jesus Christ.
Diesel's going to be struggling if he's not getting that.
Number three. They get progressively harder as well. Christ. Number three. Parsonage Meadow.
They get harder than that.
Parsonage Meadow.
Dong.
Yes, Bryn. It's not. You get a free guess.
Is it Whirlwell?
It's not Whirlwell. Parsonage Meadow is Whitchurch.
I should know that.
Okay. Number four. Ready? The David Roth Cricket Ground.
No idea. That's not real, is it?
David Roth Cricket Ground. People at home will know this, I promise you.
David Roth Cricket.
Gonna need to push you for an answer here.
Can we get a clue?
It's most of these are local, right? Most of these are pretty local.
Okay. Dong, Berkeley.
It's not. These you get free guess.
I will go with St Marybourne.
It's not. It was Easton. I'm not confident.
Oh, isn't it?
Okay. The bowl, yeah. Next one. Jubilee Playing Fields.
I know that.
Jubilee Playing Fields. Need to push it.
Put it in, I think.
But people are screaming at their handsets at home.
Why does that ring
a bell? Or if they're driving.
If they're driving, they're tapping the wheel.
Yeah. You're going, come on!
I know it! Why did I know it?
Oh, this is...
Clue, please.
Local?
Played there away last year.
Last year?
Last season. Played there away last season. Jubilee Playing Fields. Last clue. Two grounds next to each other. Two pitches next to each other. Think, go on, Deez.
Alton.
It is Alton. Well done. 1 point to you. That's two all. Okay. Next one. The Recreation Centre.
Oh, that literally could be anywhere.
The Recreation Centre.
It's going to be a long 10 if this is they get progressively harder.
Might stop at 7.
Clue?
Clue, very, very local.
Oh, I'll go ding.
Go on.
St. Marybourne.
No.
Dong. Whirlwell?
No, that one is Overton.
Oh, that's so easy.
Oh,
that's Recreation. So easy.
At Recreation Centre. Okay, next one. The Fieldgate Centre. Someone listening will know this.
Someone in particular.
Well, no, that's not a clue. I mean, lots of us have played there. In the Magoos League is a clue. In the Magoos League, the Fieldgate Centre. Oh, another clue. North of us, geographically.
Dong.
Go on.
Eastwood Hay.
It's not, but quite close.
I don't know, but it's quite close.
Well. Ish.
Oh God.
Magoos League. Need to push up.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay. That one was Kingsclear.
Oh my God. I wouldn't guess.
Okay. That. Right, we'll do one more.
That's it before.
We'll call it a day. Okay. This one, the Norman Edwards Cricket Ground.
I don't know. Like, no idea.
No.
Blue.
Blue, Winchester based.
Ding.
Go on.
Oh, go Hursley Park.
No.
Ding. No, Dong. Yeah. Compton.
Dong. No. That one was Sparshot.
Oh, fucking hell.
Norman Edwards Cricket Ground. You, two all. So do you want.
We need a decider.
Yeah.
Need a decider.
No, I don't know if we'll get any of them.
Yeah, the last two are just ridiculous. Okay, try this one. Try this one, and I'll give you the clues in advance.
Okay. Yeah.
In our league with the ones, played a lot of cricket against them over the years. Okay.
Okay.
This one is called Lapstone Park. We've played lots of cricket against them over the years in our league with the ones.
I'll go ding.
Yep.
Lymington.
No. Played much more against them. I think youth sometimes, midweek, cup.
Dong. Fair Oak?
It is Fair Oak. Oh, it is Fair Oak.
Thank God for that.
Brent wins the quiz. Well done.
Well done, Brent.
Cheers, boys. Okay.
Well played at home. Let's nine.
Yep.
Nine question quiz. I have one more at home, one more for people at home. But some of them might be 9 out of 9 at the moment. The last one is called Albany. And that was, and I'll just pause so people can guess. That was Albany, Bishop's Waltham.
Fair enough.
No way I would have got that.
End of quiz.
Okay. Thanks for that, Spear. Pretty embarrassing for me and you, Diesel, especially considering you've been putting these names probably into emails for the last year. And now we're just going to do a little section on sort of moments of the summer. So, Spear, do you want to go first?
Yeah, can do. My moment of the year, Diesel's already touched on it, but obviously I only played a handful of games and I wasn't really involved in much off-field antics at all this year, disappointingly. So mine's an on-field one, and mine is the game at Calmore. Deez has already, mentioned the fact that Zach and Clarkie bowled that unbelievably tight spell through the middle. I think they scored something like, 20 runs off about 20 overs. It was mad. Brent, you were there as well.
No, it was.
And it was a weird day because it pissed it in the morning. Probably, it's one of those mentally like, okay, this is going to be off. It's pissing down. You get there, somehow it's dry, and then you've got to play. You've got to get in the mindset of playing. We obviously didn't want to lose because I think we'd only won one game at that stage. We knew they'd be quite strong. So it was a bit like, you know, people in a negative way might have thought it's not the end of the world if this gets rained off. But we got out there, and then it was one of those where we came off twice. We had to bowl our allotted overs, so it took like fucking ages, and I think we did it in 3 or 4 installments. Quite a funny moment when the umpires came into the change room and sort of like announced the situation. I don't know if anyone remembers that, yeah. But they sort of, they clearly, like, because, you know, umpires has been a theme of our podcast over the years. And this year, umpires have sort of taken a back seat, and I think that's a good thing. Hmm. It feels like they've realised that, you know, their place in the game, and they haven't tried to make games about themselves this year as they have done previously. But their umpire was pretty good. But it's just quite funny the way they sort of came through the door together, walked through our changing room,
small changing room as well.
Our changing room at Cowmore, very small changing room, and then did a sort of like walk down and sort of did like a 180 turn. And then we're like, right, lads, this is the situation. And then our umpire, what's his name? John, isn't it?
Yeah.
He sort of just stood next to him and just sort of nodded as this guy was trying to explain the stipulations. And then he, at the end of it, so he sort of said, right, you've got to bowl your overs, and then we will calculate the runs, and then you've got to do a minimum of this. Blah, 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 blah. And then he was like, at least that's what I think anyway, like that. Yeah. And then he sort of summed it up. But nice little moment for them. They absolutely loved it, being the centre of attention for a minute or so. But fair play to them. They got the game on, and then we were chasing, what, 100 or something? 110?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like and they had a good bowling attack. And I put a moment of summer because they actually saw things that day that you don't see very often. You saw a genuine pace from one of them, quite hostile. And the girl who was bowling leg spin, like proper good leg spin. So it's nice to see those things occasionally. And then I feel like all the games of cricket I've played, I can't remember coming out on top in those sort of situations when you have a weird rain-reduced game. I always feel like, you know, you get shafted, or like it's really hard to win those sorts of games. So to get over the line there was really important. Obviously, Dee's carrying his bat all the way through, and a few other guys coming in with, because it was such a low total, coming in and getting like a quick 18 was really valuable. So I think Cal did that.
Yeah, Cal did
that. Yeah, maybe a few more of that, actually. Geordie did it a little bit, and then Zach at the end. But obviously, Dee's holding it all together. And then that great clip, great little reel of hitting the winning runs, which I've watched probably 17 or 18 times. I'm not afraid to admit. And there's actually, I didn't realise, but there's actually quite a big like roar that comes from our dugout when we win. Which I don't remember live, but we obviously just must have all just gone like, fucking yes, come on, like that. And that was, yeah, burgled isn't the right word, because we didn't burgle that at all. We didn't burgle it at all, but it just felt like maybe an unlikely victory.
Yeah.
In a way.
Yeah, we turned up not expecting to win.
Just in the sense that they were clearly quite strong. We bowled and fielded really well, and then that was a really tricky little run chase, which could have easily gone wrong. So for that all to come together was, you know, was really good. So, and it really valuable win. So that is my moment of the summer.
But mine, yeah, obviously I've only really got a couple of games to choose from, but mine's exactly the same. I thought it was a great game. Yeah, really nice to like be back with the boys. It's the first time I played with them all year, and more like the quick single was good, but I just remember Diesel, you hit this cover drive that sort of like, I think it took it from like, I seen it in like 8 to like 3 or, well, that's good maths, Alex, from 8 to like 4 or something like that. It's just sort of like, it was a bit nervy, and then you hit this like really nice cover drive 4, and then it was like, okay, yeah, we'll do this now. So yeah, fantastic game of cricket. And yeah, it was sort of odd game, like you say, Spear, with like going on and going off. And there was all like always this air of like, oh shit, this is probably, yeah, he's going to get called off. And then it wasn't. And then also in the chase, there was like an element of we need to get on with this a bit because the weather is closing in here and we actually can't lose any more time. So, yeah, and like you said, fair play to the umps. They actually did a good job. So I think we were sat, me and Newspear, on the bench at one point while we were chasing it. It was raining quite hard, but they said, like, look, we're staying out here. And yeah.
And at that point, any more time would have been
Yeah, so it was, yeah, really good day out that.
But we were nervous watching that race, weren't we?
Yeah.
And, you know, it was chewy. Yeah, definitely. I think we came off for a similar like amount of rain in the first innings.
Mm, yeah.
But they were looking at it going, right, it might rain here for like 30 seconds and then blow through. And he wasn't doing it to like benefit his team. The umpire was
doing it. Yeah, it was just good, like, yeah.
We are Calmer, we have to win at all costs. He was doing it just to get a game of cricket on. I think he made that quite clear.
Diesel, for you?
Obviously, that game was in my sort of shortlist, but I sort of did mine as a bit of a champagne moment. So mine was Cal's catch at Andover. Obviously, as part of the whole game as well, was we won the game, batted brilliantly, bowled brilliantly. It was just an absolute worldie catch. He's gone, batters hit it mid on for up. He's tried to hit it over mid on. He's running with his, so from my position, he's got back to me. So he's literally running sort of with a ball coming over his head. He's jumped mid air, caught it mid air. He's sort of done a little, he sort of landed on his back. As he jumped, you could hear the ball go in hard. He's mid-air and he started celebrating before he's hit the ground. It was just such an unreal moment. And I think that game in particular as well, because I think both teams, second team and third team, were off as well, or at least the third team were. Or the second team, I don't know. Teams were off and there was a bit of a crowd. Some players who might not watch us much because they've been playing, obviously. It just seemed like a really big day. And just that catch topped it off. It was a worldie. Obviously, I could have spoke about that Kilmore game, but I think you should have done that. But that Andover game as well was a huge moment. Again, similar to Kilmore, turning up, not expecting to win. We knew we had the last two games of the season in the bank that we could go and try and win. And anything we got at Andover was a bonus. And to turn up, put to almost 250 on the board and then keep them to a bowl them out.
Were they a good side?
They were. I think they had might have had one or two missing. I don't think they were at the strongest, but again, they weren't weak at all.
And Cal is guilty of taking some very good catches over the years, isn't he?
Yeah. It's something I was going to mention during when I was talking about the first team in general, but I think the fielding has got a lot, lot better. Justin mentioned it on Saturday that it's been the first time in a while that when the ball's in the air, you just expect it to be caught. If you think back to sort of the first team's strong County One days, when you had like Duquesne, Areas, whoever down the ground taking or Scott, any ball that was hit to them, they were just catching. And I think Callum Geordie, Gary and Simon, I think they are sort of similar to that. If the ball gets hit to them, they just catch it.
Which, again, has been really, really good this year.
Hi, my name's Chris Clark, a.k.a. The GOAT, and my moment of the season is Callum's catch at Andover.
Mason Smith, my moment of the season is Josh Moore snicking it into his own lid.
Good. I'm Jordan Blackmore and my moment this season is Dan Baerbock hitting the winning runs at Calmore with a rain affected game.
My name is Daddy Melder and my moment of the season is Roy Kerr saying I'm not going to get out to that quick boy and then eventually getting out to the 13-year-old leg spinner.
Alright lads, Callum here. Favourite moment of the season's got to be Josh Moore getting lidded for the second time of the season. After not wearing a helmet in the first time, he then gets smashed in the face and goes down like a sack of shit. Thought it was brilliant. Brilliant entertainment from the sidelines and, you know, valuable lessons taught.
Hi, my name's Ben. My favourite moment of the season was an on drive that I played against Emsworth, which gave me hope that I might be able to play cricket into my 30s. But one that didn't include me was Mike Plant's appeal pretty recently, where he has gone up for what he believed was a Stonewall LBW. So only find that everyone else was completely silent due to the bloke absolutely middling it to mid-wicket. And then picking up a fine for probably the worst appeal that I've ever heard.
Josh Moore here. My moment of the season is Rory Kerr smoking the quick bowler at Calmore through the covers after shitting himself in the pavilion, not wanting to face him. Cheers, boys.
And this year we've sort of had the introduction of fines, which has become like quite a big thing around the club. Obviously ended up paying for a lot of beers at the end of the season, so that was nice for everyone. And I mean, yeah, like I said, from the outside, it seems like it's a really nice, really strong addition, a really good idea, both in sort of raising standards. But I also think it's helped really build like a community sort of feel of like build on that sort of like, we're not three separate teams, we're sort of one club together, and getting like, and just having like parents and that back on the, like the last game, and sort of they're going, oh, do I have to pay for these? Go, no, we've all paid our fines. So that's the reason these are here. So I sort of feel like it's been like a really nice addition, and maybe change a few maybe for next year. I don't know how we're going to do it. But yeah, I just wanted to say that from our perspective, it's been really strong. And Spear, you'd probably say the same. And Diesel, I mean, you've been there every game. So like, what are your guys' sort of thoughts on it, really?
I would say it's one of those things, isn't it, where it's an idea. Someone might have an idea, offer a few beers or something, and it's like, yeah, let's do some fines. Yeah, let's do that. But to actually then go through with it, create the fines and stick to it all season, it sounds like a silly thing, isn't it? But it does actually bring the boys together a bit, and it's been chaired well by Josh Moore. Well, from what I've seen, he hasn't gone over the top. Things don't get too personal, I guess. It's just a bit of fun, and it's nice. It's important, I think, because if you're giving up a whole day throughout the summer, so many other things you could be doing if you're committed to that. If the game finishes and then people just like go home or just don't take a moment to just like sit and think and just reflect about what's happened that day, I think it's quite a nice thing to do. And it gives it that context, doesn't it? It gives it that structure. So, you know, especially after a win, you sit around, you have a bit of a laugh and a joke with each other. And then you might even then say some nice things as well. Not too many. Yeah. But it's, and it probably helps with basic standards. I think Dee's mentioned that in the last podcast about what he wanted from the team this year. And There was an onus on players, and it's we are a bit fucking lethargic sometimes, especially like before the game. We never warm up, people get there late and stuff like that. So it's just nice to give that, you know, structure to it.
I think it's been really good. I think everyone's bought into it. We haven't really had anyone go against it and think, oh, I'm not doing that, which has been good. People take it on the chin if, like, things have been put against them. I think, as you said, Harry, it's very good after a win to just have that debrief. And yeah, rather than just picking your kit up and saying see you later, there is a bit of at least an attempt at just basically, yeah, having a chat about what's gone on. And it's nice on the boundary as well when we're batting or whatever. It's just a different sort of different aspect, which I think has been really positive, and it pays for a good social after the last game. So it's not as if it's non-inclusive to, I mean, it was originally going to be for the night out, but I think we thought not everyone's going to see that or get something out of that. So put it towards that. People can turn up and use it how they like. And I think it's worked really, really well. And obviously we'll add to it next year, take some things out maybe that barely got used or add things that we've noticed. But yeah, it's been really good.
And just one of the other, like, sort of moving on, really, we've had, unless, do we want to touch on some serial offenders?
We can do, yeah. because there are some.
Diesel, I'm not really aware. So do you want to call some people out?
Well, the main two are Mike Clark and Jack Ashmore.
So I think they put in £60 altogether.
Ashmore for dirty kit every week. I don't know
if he owns a washing machine or he just likes the smell. But he is a serial offender. Mike Clark for being late all the time. Just a minute. He's always late. But owns it. He's like, yeah, that's fine. I'll just take that. It doesn't really matter. And just some like funny ones. So there was
a good moment against Andover where
we were down to the last, I think the last wicket, and Ollie Oram playing his first game for the first team. We just sort of, any runs we get here are a bonus, and he just smacks one down the ground for four. Obviously a big roar from the sidelines. He just gives it a little bat raise. So just things like that. They're just, as I say, they're just good to add in. But yeah, them two especially the first team. I know Rory's had to put in about £30 as well. And just for general roariness.
And then, yeah, like one of the things we've had again this year, I think it's the third or fourth year we've had the fantasy back. And so, I mean, Diesel, do you want to sort of run through maybe like the top five?
Fifth place we had Jacko. I was in fourth place. In third place was you, Brinton. In second place was Cal.
And the winner was Zach Allen. He's the new fantasy holder. It is nice to have a different winner, I guess. That's sort of the one positive we can take from that. But
yeah, he was, I think,
I haven't got the full rundown of the points, but I think he was about 500 points clear. His team was ridiculous. He showed it to me on Saturday. And it's just like, oh, did you get run today? Oh, Blackie got a few today. Yeah, Zach's got him. Oh, Clark is at 4-4. Yeah, Zach's got him.
Yeah, and on that thing, sort of saying how strong his team was, on like Benny changed the selection thing this year, and I think the way he was sort of doing it, and at least for me, who's not like someone who's there every week and doesn't fully know who's going to be in every team every week, it was like a bit easier to sort of pick like a team of players you knew, because otherwise you rely on a bit on, which was also a certain element of nicety, is that you have to rely on like the first team players, second team players pick third team players because that they may not otherwise know. But I think that, just the change in the way Benny did it was really good and just a great part of the club, and everyone really buys into it. And like lots of people, like I know, like Zach's mum and dad, they both do it. I'm convinced they have sort of big discussions around the family dinner table about who they're going to pick and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, I think it's really nice. And yeah, such a great thing that Ben does that raises a nice little bit of cash as well.
Also, I think
what I was going to ask about the fantasy is I've picked a team and then I've just left it.
Yeah.
Lots of you, I know, like, what do you do during the week? Do you check your team every week, or like, because I don't know what it's like to fully invest myself in it once the season's begun.
I don't think you could change it this year.
No, think that's part of it, is that you could almost just leave it, and there's an absolute, like, you'd have conversations during the week about your fantasy and it's just like, but there's nothing I can do about it now. I can't change my team. My players are my players. But what was your question again, Spear? Like, what do you...
The question, yeah, that was it really. That was my question, was like, because you know, with the Premier League one, you can sit, you can tweak it, you can sub in, sub out. But this, you have to like commit to it at the start of the year, and that's it, really, isn't it?
Mm.
You've got to hope that it comes good.
I think it works better for. I think it works better for like people like me and you, Spear, who aren't there every week. Because otherwise, like, we'd be at a massive disadvantage, really, just from not picking up on like the general chat of.
Yeah.
Who's going to be in what team that week and all that sort of stuff. So I think then, and also it's more inclusive to the people who aren't playing.
But the people who finished near the top this year, probably similar to people that finished near the top last year.
Yeah.
So that shows that there is a sort of,
there's something there.
There's a method. There is a method.
But yeah, I think obviously it's difficult for you because you're more outside of it, you don't know. See, I
I think I've got as much information as I can.
Yeah, you've probably
I
got
think
that.
I that's what I mean. So I think I obviously I know who turns up pre-season. I know pretty much who's going to play where. You look at values of people. So I remember a big talk at the start of the year was Dan Silverwood coming in at 4 mil. It was like, you've got to have him in your team because he's going to play 90% of the games and he's going to do well. So it's just things like that. And then I just go for just, I don't know, it's just serial wicket takers like Kieran Tasker. Yeah. He's a stalwart in my fantasy team because he plays every week and he will take wickets in the 30. If he gets a 20, I've got out, it's an absolute bonus. But I think it is a toss-up between like who are your big value players. So obviously you can't have like Zach, Baz, Blackie, Jordy. You can't have them all in your team. So I think it's just if you pick your big values right, then I mean, is there any skill to it? I don't really know.
Captain as well, I guess. You know, you can have a day out. I think Jordy got like a 5 for a 50 in the same game, maybe a couple of catches. And, you know, imagine if you have him captain that week, you can change your captain, can't you?
No, there was no captain.
No, no. You
previously, captain.
Previously, you could, yeah.
Okay. Should have fucking read the
UNT team.
The
fine.
But and still. Then, some people came good at the end, didn't they? Like Zach had a really good end of the season. So that probably was, he probably had himself in the team. So that was probably, you know, his surge after a quiet start.
Yeah. And Diesel, do you want to, Ben,
well,
you said Ben sent you the sort of the top performers. Maybe we could guess like the top five between me and Spear.
How do you want to do it? All today?
Yep.
I've slipped an imaginary coin in my head, Brinton. Heads or tails?
Tails.
Oh, that's a head. Harry, you're starting.
All right, so Zach.
That is correct. He's in at number two.
Baz?
Yes, he's in at number four.
Blackie, Paul Blackmore.
Incorrect.
Shit.
The goat?
Incorrect.
So Jordy Blackmore.
Just for reference, Blackie was eighth. And who did you say? The GOAT. He was sixth, and he was just outside of it.
Okay. I said Jordy. Next guess.
Jordy's correct. He was third.
Oh, someone who's first.
Yeah, some suit.
Oh, I know.
Mikey.
Incorrect. He was 11th.
Okay.
Connell Proctor.
Connell Proctor is correct. He was fifth.
So we still need.
He's first. We haven't got first.
He's number one.
Well, number one, is that it?
Yeah.
Is it you, Dean, with your stumpins or not? And stumpins and your court?
It is, yes.
It is.
Oh, that's backfired.
That's awkward, isn't it?
Guilty. Yeah, so it was me, Zach, Jordy, Barry at fourth, Connell fifth, the GOAT at number six, Joe Brown at seventh, Lucky eight, Melder at nine.
Wow,
yeah,
fantastic. Melder.
So interesting to know how many of those top five you could get into a team.
Mm.
Or is it possible to get all of them?
You probably could get all of them, but you, well, actually, I don't know if you could because you, there's not enough low value players.
Yeah.
And then Tom Cady, 10th, Mikey at 11.
So, who would you like? You might not have us in front of you, but who would you say got the most points, like in relation to their price tag?
Oof. So,
who basically was an absolute bargain and got loads of points?
So Connell Proctor was a 6 value.
Yeah.
Do you think Zach's 14?
Yeah, that's the one, isn't it?
And
that's the
one. He was only selected by 12% of teams, was Connell.
Yeah.
So smoker. Blackie, only a 7 value, which is a steal.
That is a steal.
Yeah. I guess he doesn't bowl or catch.
Yeah.
or listen to this pod, so that's all right.
So yeah, your big values are your Zach, your Barry's, your Geordie's, you know, the 14 mils, the 12 mils. If you think Zach was selected by 70%, I mean, if you're not voting, if you're not putting Zach Allen in your team, you're doing something wrong.
Yeah, you feel.
Let's put that in straight away for those next year.
Yeah, so we've come to, we're close to the end of the podcast. We've got a second quiz. This quiz is called Upstairs, Downstairs. So it's a version of Higher or Lower. I will give you, we're going to start with a Long Parish-based statistic.
Mm-hmm.
And then I will give you another statistic and you have to guess whether that is higher or lower than the previous one. Or upstairs, downstairs, if you like.
Yeah.
Okay. So the coin toss is really important because whoever wins it goes, and they will go until they're wrong.
Oh, right. Wow. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you've got, there's 15 points available. So if you win a toss and have a stick and get it all right, then you'll, the other person won't get to play. But it's probably not going to happen because all the stats are very close.
Okay.
Any questions?
No.
Mate,
heads
perfect.
Or tails? Heads or tails, Brent?
Tails.
It is tails.
Oh, I love a stick.
You can have a stick. All right. Okay. So the opening stat is this. Adrian Maxwell, his highest score was 70. Okay. So 70 is the starting number.
Okay.
This is only based on website stats. Combined, all time.
Okay, cool.
Okay. So the starting stat is 70. The next one is Stuart Tognarelli appearances. Is it higher or lower than 70?
Upstairs.
It is lower, so you're wrong.
Okay.
Get it.
So Deez, you take over.
Yeah.
He played 62 games, according to the website.
Ouch.
Martin Bearpark, aka Chair, total amount of not outs. Is it higher or lower than 62?
I will go lower again.
It is lower. It's 51.
Yeah.
So 1 point to you, Deez. You carry on. So 51 is the stat. The next stat is Michael Taplin wickets. Total wickets. Higher or lower than 51?
Can't be higher.
I'm going to go higher.
It is higher. It's 55. 2 points. That's mad. Okay. So 55 is the stat. The next one is Brendan Tasker bowling average. Higher or lower than 55?
If it's higher, then that is criminal. So I'm going to have to go lower.
It's not lower. His bowling average is 58.
Ouch.
Okay.
So we're stuck on 58. Next one. Sam Trinder, highest score.
Higher
or lower than 58?
Higher.
It is higher than 58. 79. Next one. Tom Trinder, total innings. Total innings, more or less than 79.
Lower.
It is lower.
Ooh.
75.
Good shout.
To all. Desmond. Next one. Johnny Waheed, total overs bowled, more or less than 75.
Higher.
It's not. He bowled 69.1 overs. So it remains Desmond.
How many have we got left?
You've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's 8 points left to play for.
Oh, play for. Lovely.
Plenty, plenty. Playing at home, try and pair up with someone. Start again if you need to. Okay, next one. So 69.1 is the stat. The next one, Alfie Smith, wickets. More or less than 69?
Less.
No, he took more. He took 83. He's taken, I say took. Is he going to play again? Who knows? He's taken 83 wickets. Okay, Brent, over to you. Jack Levy, total appearances.
Sorry, what's the number again, Spear?
83, more or less than 83. Jack Levy, total appearances.
Lower.
It's higher. He's played 93 games.
Wow.
Bit of indoor gear.
Oh, okay. Yeah, not factoring that in.
Okay, so 93. These, Warnold, highest score. All right, next. Charlie Russell, total runs.
Oh, it's higher.
It is higher. He scored 122 runs.
Yeah.
That's 4-2 to Dees with four left. Next one, Kieran Tasker, wickets.
And what was the number?
122.
I'll go less, lower.
It is less. It's 119 for the Taskmaster.
Taskmaster.
Next one. Joe Brown, appearances.
Lower.
Is correct again. 109 appearances. Next one. George Kusev, highest score.
Oh, I know he's at a ton. Oh, has he? I'll go higher.
It's not higher. It's lower. George Kusev, 105, highest score.
Right.
The last one then is for you, Brent. Scott Sturt, not out.
Serious amount of indoor gear.
Oh, yeah, there's so much indoor gear.
105 is the stat.
First, I was like, that's a ridiculous suggestion, but with indoor.
He did used to bat 9-10 Jack for the first team as well, didn't he?
I want to go higher.
And you are right, 110, not out.
That's fucking criminal. 110, not out.
Yeah, 110, not out.
Jesus.
All right, so at the end of the quiz, Brent, 3 points. Well done. But yeah. Deez has run away with it with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6-3.
Well done, Deez.
Well done. Send your scores in.
Yeah.
Email them in.
Email them in.
Be impressive if someone's done a clean sweep there.
Yeah, that would be.
That would be very impressive. So just to sort of finish it up, chaps, you sort of wanted to look forward to next year. Spare, from your side, sort of what are your sort of thoughts and like how are you sort of seeing things as we move into your sort of inevitable 5-6 game block and for the team as well?
Well, next year, annoyingly, I'm going to have Sam Trinder's wedding and his stag do. So that's two Saturdays gone. Stitch up, yeah.
No.
Might rain, hope not. So that's two games gone. But yeah, still hope to get a handful in. But from a much broader perspective, things are looking really positive. The youngsters that played up in the ones, hopefully they become permanent fixtures, get better. Hopefully guys that played well at the end of the year, you know, if Zach then bats three all year, that's a great thing. Three or four sort of thing. Suddenly you've got a top order stick that you didn't have before. Mike was stinking of runs at the end of the year. Hopefully that galvanises him. All that sort of stuff. So, yeah, club's in great shape. When you just put cricket aside for 1 second, it's as good as it's ever been, to be honest, in terms of a place just for people, a community, you know, a place for people to spend time with each other. Great set of blokes, people doing loads of stuff behind the scenes. Youth setup still amazing, getting three teams out. So more of the same, I think. And I can't wait. Can't wait to get back next summer and do it all again.
Yeah, I mean, I think your point about the youngsters is a really good one. I had that noted down as well. And sort of, yeah, that sort of winning habit that we seem to have got into at the end of last year. I hope sort of that translates into the start of next year as well. It can really sort of hit the ground running. And I mean, be great to push for promotion. If not, just win more games of cricket, basically. And personally, I think I'll hopefully be playing a lot more next year. So I'm really looking forward to that. Playing with the boys a lot more. It should be really good. And Diesel, sort of from your perspective, second year in the job?
Yeah, just more of the same. It's rare that you come to an end of a cricket season and you're almost wanting another game on Saturday. You just want to continue winning games of cricket, which is a rare feeling. But again, if we can just continue what we've been doing, I mean, you've pretty much covered it all there, both of you. So, more of the same. More of the same next year.
More of these.
Wanting to play cricket is a rare feeling, full stop, isn't it?
Yeah.
So the fact that people are feeling that's incredible.
Yeah.
What a way to end it.
Britt, we haven't even we should have mentioned this at the start. Even you've played a game of cricket in the McGives, haven't you?
Played two. Two? No,
That's
one. One game. One game for
great stuff.
McGives. So yeah, I'm sure we'll be back. Mate, fingers crossed with another Christmas special. I don't know whether we've got that in us really. Or if not, we'll try to do a pre-season preview when we actually do some prep this time, unlike last season where we all sort of rocked up and went just chatted for 2 hours. Yeah, so thanks everyone for listening. If you've made it this far, then I mean you're a better bloke than I am. But yeah, thanks for listening, and yeah, we'll see you in the summer.
Cheers.